Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Broadcasting live from the True Crime Today studios to the world. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers podcast, Murder in the Morning.
Well, what will come of the new Delphi motions? Yes, that case is still very much alive despite the conviction and Richard Allen being sentenced to 130 years in prison. The defense, they kind of are raising their hand going, okay, now let's use our get a new trial free card because there's a lot wrong here. And a newly filed motion to correct errors, it doesn't just poke holes in the prosecution's case. It alleges gaping chasms, raising serious questions about whether justice was truly served, which most of us have been saying from day one. It isn't just an appeal. This is a legal Molotov cocktail tossed into the already volatile landscape of one of Indiana's most notorious murders. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Because here we go.
We knew this was going to happen. So now it's coming to fruition.
Now they're starting to list stuff. The legal defense is not mincing words. They're claiming four fundamental legal screw-ups so egregious it could potentially free a man convicted of double homicide. Forget appeals based on technicalities. This is a full frontal assault on the integrity of the trial itself, and rightfully so. Now it just has to not go back to Judge Gall, and other judges have to hear this and see this to go, are you making this shit up? Because this is crazy. At least I hope that's their reaction. First, the defense alleges Allen's transfer from the Carroll County Jail to the Indiana Department of Corrections was conducted under the legal equivalent of cloak of invisibility. Apparently, his attorneys were not notified. Surprise. Effectively denying him legal representation at what they term a safekeeping proceeding. It's like being shipped off to a new school in the middle of the night without even a goodbye note, except the stakes here are considerably higher than cafeteria politics. As the motion bluntly states, Mr. Allen was not afforded either the right to be heard by counsel or by himself at the safekeeping proceeding. One has to wonder if the authorities simply forgot to send the memo, or something more sinister was at play. Keep in mind, Richard Allen was kept in solitary confinement for years. A man not even convicted of a crime. Charge. That's normally jail, not solitary confinement. Then they argue, oh, we went crazy. Yeah, anyone would if you did that to them. Then comes the curious case of the white van. The defense claims prosecutors knowingly allowed false testimony regarding the phantom vehicle, a vehicle that, according to the defense, was never quite where the prosecution claimed it was. They allege that surveillance footage directly contradicts the prosecution's timeline because, well, it does. It's like watching a magic trick where the rabbit disappears, except in this case, the rabbit is a crucial piece of potential evidence, and its disappearance could have significantly influenced the jury's verdict. The defense is arguing when the state introduces testimony it knows will be false or fails to correct testimony it knows or should know to be false, once they have it, a conviction must be vacated or reversed if that false evidence may have had an effect on the outcome of the trial. In other words, if the prosecution knowingly peddled false narratives here, a whole trial could be tainted. Of course it could be. But wait, there's more. A reported confession now. This is new. By another individual has surfaced, adding another layer of intrigue to the already convoluted case. This alleged confession, gleaned from an inmate's notes, mentions a box cutter, a detail that takes on a new significance, giving the shifting sands of the testimony surrounding the actual murder weapon during Allen's trial. kind of like a plot twist straight out of a dime store detective novel. Suddenly, the spotlight shifts and the question becomes, did the prosecution focus on the wrong suspect entirely? Which, yeah, they probably did. The defense argues this bombshell could have established probable cause for an entirely different suspect, but Judge Gull wanted to hear nothing of that. No. My good police boys over here can't be wrong. We're not going to say they did anything incorrect. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Finally, the defense takes aims at the forensic evidence, specifically data from Liberty German's cell phone. The state suggested that environmental factors such as water or dirt could explain certain data abnormalities, specifically those suggesting headphones were plugged into the phone at the crime scene. The defense scoffs at this explanation, arguing that these abnormalities here could have been caused by dirt or water, as the motion states. Miss Eldridge's opinion that dirt or water could not have caused Liberty German's phone to log wired headphones being plugged in and being unplugged from the phone on February 13th, 2017, exculpates Mr. Allen and would probably produce a different result at the new trial. The defense is essentially saying the state's explanation is about as plausible as finding a unicorn riding a bicycle. And this is true. This is true with this, too. I mean, Have you ever had a cell phone get wet? I think we almost all have, haven't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've dropped it in sinks and, you know, never a toilet, thank God. But Bravo. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how phones can malfunction, but I've never found them to do things specifically when they're about to malfunction because of abuse. I find they just don't work.
I've had the headphone jack problem years ago, back when they had headphone jacks.
Yeah.
Because this took place back when they had headphone jacks. And I've had them get wet and I've had it get stuck on a mode thinking there was a headphone plugged in when there wasn't, which made it impossible to hear the phone.
Exactly.
So this was a thing that would happen back there. Dirt could cause it. Really anything getting into that headphone jack could cause it. I've had that too, where like I took the headphone out, something got into the area, it triggered that it thought the headphone was in, and you have to either try and fish it out, whatever's in there, or sometimes you just got to get it fixed. So there is, that did happen. That was a common thing back then. And if you had this thing sitting out at a crime scene in the dirt and the mud, would not surprise me at all. It's extremely plausible. The defense is now demanding one of two things. Either Allen's convictions are tossed out entirely, or a hearing is held to thoroughly examine these alleged errors. The motion is a separate legal maneuver from the formal appeal that Allen's newly appointed appellate attorneys are expected to file. It's a two-pronged attack, a legal pincer movement designed to put maximum pressure on the court. The court's response, this motion is going to be very important. It's going to determine if the immediate future of Allen's conviction, what will happen here, will set the stage for the next act in the ongoing legal drama. Will the courts dismiss the allegations as mere legal posturing, or will they acknowledge the potential for serious missteps in the original trial? I think the answer to that's going to come down to who's hearing this.
Oh, it's absolutely. If this were to appear in front of Judge Gull again, we're done. There's nothing left to talk about. We might as well just hit cancel on recording this, because what's the point talking about it, really?
And that's why there's different courts that this is going to go to. There's appeals that are going to Gull, and Gull we know is going to say no. And then another court's going to hear it. And then that's where traction can be hopefully made, and they can get this into a court that's going to give him a fair trial. I'm still not saying that I think he's completely innocent. I'm saying he deserves a fair trial, which did not occur.
Mm.
And hopefully, maybe that will happen. The answer to the question is going to determine whether Richard Allen remains behind bars or gets a second chance at justice, or perhaps injustice, depending on your perspective. It's not just about Richard Allen anymore. It's about the integrity of the legal system in Delphi, which doesn't have a whole lot of it. It is a messy, complicated, and deeply unsettling situation. And we're really not going to know the truth until we get back to court. I know some people are accepting this and saying, okay, we got it. He's our guy. And honestly, I don't know how you do that. I just don't. There's some other podcasters out there who I respect. But it's a matter of different opinion. But I don't see how one gets there 100% on this one.
Yeah, this we're going to be seeing this case again. I hope, because I think there's so many injustices here.
Yeah.
That this poor guy did not get a fair shake. And right now in this country, you're afforded a reasonable trial. And this man did not have one.
Yeah, 1,000%. There's two other sources I recommend going and listening to about this case if you're following it. Bob Mata, the Defense Diaries podcast, he interviewed all of Richard Allen's attorneys after the trial. And those interviews are over there on the Defense Diaries podcast with Bob. And you know Bob from this show. Check those out. It's a long listen, but it's very interesting. And the other one I'm going to present to you is an opposing point of view. And I was just on Court TV the other night with her, Lauren Mathias from Hidden True Crime, Hidden A True Crime podcast. She is on the other side of this. And I believe, at least last time I saw one of her pieces, was about this and her being comfortable with the verdict. And she's had some folks on who were close to the case. She does really good interviews, her and her husband. And I recommend taking a listen to that, too, to kind of get a full spectrum of everything here. And then see where you lie. Because after listening to both and just knowing everything we know about the case, I still am completely in the middle. And I don't know. I'm very much leaning towards not guilty. Or this is such a bundled investigation, we will never truly know. And if you don't truly know, you don't convict someone and send them away for life when you don't truly know. That's what reasonable doubt is.
Right, and beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes, exactly.
Especially that beyond part.
Yeah.
So do you, in your heart, is there somewhere that you think he did this? Do you think the evidence stacks up against him?
I
know that's a loaded question.
No,
but
I don't. I do not think the evidence stack. I think there's very, very weak evidence. And I think the stuff that they're pretending is strong really is not when you look at it. I mean, the strong parts they have is the confessions, which if you listened to them, and I got accounts from people who were in that courtroom. Bob was in there. Many other people were. And none of us got to hear it except for who was in there. And I asked him, I'm like, what did it sound like? Because that was the biggest question. Did it sound like Richard Allen when he was talking competently before he had been in solitary confinement for a year? Or did it sound like a zombie? And it was more like a zombie. It was more just kind of like ramblings and going from one thing to another. And just, I did it. I want you to know I did it. And it just... Like he was saying that he had a cheeseburger for lunch. It wasn't strong. Other than that, we did not see any bombshell evidence come out of the prosecution.
No.
There was nothing putting him there. There was the bullet casing that was on the ground, not even the weapon used in this. I thought that was extremely questionable considering you had a huge pack of police there investigating, and it could have easily come from one of their weapons. There really wasn't a lot tying it to Richard Allen's gun. So I don't know where the connection really truly comes in other than he admitted he was there. He stood up when people were asking questions and said, I was there, how can I help? That's usually not what the killer does.
Mm-mm. No, not typically.
There's a lot here that shows it wasn't him.
There's, well, and there was the guy who confessed to it too, right? The sex offender?
Yeah, the guy, well, he didn't confess to it. The sex offender's in jail. The sex offender supposedly has an alibi, but it's a fairly, if you dig into it, it's like, okay, you kind of took him at his word. And then you have Ron Logan, who
confused.
Who the confessor is new to this whole equation. That's a new one. Ron Logan owned the property. Ron Logan had a bit of a history, not necessarily of sex offenses, but he had a temper from what is known in police records. He's dead. So we don't really have the ability to talk to him anymore. And then you have some other folks in town that exhibited some signs that they might have something to do with this that were never investigated any further. And he seemed to have a blundered investigation as well, where they really needed to find somebody. I mean, they had Richard Allen's information on their desk at the beginning when he said, hey, I was there. And then they lost it for whatever reason. And then all these years later, oh, this is really important. Really? Like, you didn't like go through everything again in those massive year span and make sure you had your I's dotted and your T's crossed? Of course you didn't. You're Delphi. There was just so many things that in this I could see a conspiracy really just being one person covering up for another and another person covering up for this for a blunder, not necessarily a true let's try and pin it on somebody else, but more so just bad police work. And we don't want to be known for bad police work. We don't want to be caught at not doing our jobs correctly or effectively or deleting information and interviews with key witnesses to this case, which they did, and then say, oh, it has nothing to do with it. This isn't going to affect the trial at all. I don't know. I don't know how this all came about in the United States of America. And everyone was just all cool with it. It baffles me. So hopefully a new trial is going to come at the end of this mission that his attorneys are about to embark upon.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.